What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Products of Public School Education Podcast. I'm one half of your host for this evening or this episode of the podcast. I have you listening to it. At what time are you listening to it? Hey, Zo, your microphone.
What up?
Technical difficulties. I said your microphone. Yeah, we hear a bumper.
Like that?
Yeah, it's popping.
I'm moving my head.
Alright, so we got some technical issues right now. We still, we all good. Talk to me
computer,
more.
My
you probably just keep moving, huh? You just keep moving. That's all it is.
Hold up, wait a minute. I got something
for your microphone.
Alright. Now you right there.
Yeah, you just kept moving your microphone. That's all it was.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so shoot, I'll start it over then.
We ain't starting nothing over.
Well, shit, hey. Yeah, I heard there ain't no starting over. Shit, we only do one take. So I'll try and
This a rolling, not a stopwatch. The shit don't ever stop.
All right. Hey, get into the first topic you really ready to talk about.
Hey, man, I talked to Roosters about this before we even started. It's been like a lot of people naming out their top producers and beat makers. And I ain't seen the Alchemist on their list enough. And I ain't seen Speaker Knockers or Chief Keef. Them three names alone need to quit getting slept on. Real business.
Yeah. Shoot, I told you, I ain't too much of a list dude myself. I don't really miss one like that. I understand where you coming from, though. But
I'm saying, though, if you going to – and these just in the honorable mentions –
I'm saying I'm not a list person. I'm not a list person, but I understand what you're saying. I'm not a list person though, but I understand what you said about it. I don't fuck with lists like for that exact reason, because I know it's gonna be somebody I leave out, and then as soon as I turn around, I'll be like, dang, I should have put them on there. So that's why I don't really mess with lists like that. Who else you put on your list though, or who else you think getting slept on? So,
let me think. Earl Sweatshirt, cause it beat work on I Don't Like Shit, I Don't Go Outside, and TM88.
All right, so man, right now, as far as producers killing it. Yeah, which is why I was down to talk about the topic tonight too, is
Hit Boy,
just recently they've been killing it. Hit Boy, this nigga Hit Boy, like he got like fucking 10 singles. He co-produced. Well, yeah, he produced the whole Nas album, the Nas King's Disease album that just came out. So all the tracks on there, he had his name on it. But not only that. A lot of recent recent singles like the Anderson .Paak Rick Ross single. I forget Stepping On Him, it's something like that. He produced that. He produced that Big Sean Nipsey Hussle song that's on the upcoming Big Sean album, that the singer that just dropped from there. I don't know if you heard it or not. That shit crazy. He produced that song. And it's like it's a couple more that like that's just been coming out, like even on Spotify, like the recent like Spotify new releases, like the past 10 of the new releases, he damn near he untouched all of them. I mean, even though it's hella shit that gets newly released on Spotify, but you know what I'm saying, just out of newly released shit, he done touched a lot of recently, like a whole album, a track with Big Sean and Nipsey Hussle, R.I.P. And what was the other one I said? Stepping On Him. Cut Him In. Yeah, Cut Him In. That's it. I said Stepping On Him. It's Cut Him In. Anderson .Paak, Rick Ross. And I think he got a couple joints on Dave East Karma 3, if I'm not mistaken, too. So he been all over.
I gotta listen
right
to
now.
That new Dave East, bro. I heard it's going crazy on the tube.
I listened to it the other day. It's nice. I don't listen to a lot of new music, which we're gonna get into later on. But yeah, I put Hit Boy on there, especially right now. I ain't gonna say he the like a top producer like ever, but right now top producers doing it right now. So yeah, man, just even off his.
Oh, you already know who. You already know who my top producer right now is. I'm messing with Nav. Nav ain't got a bad beat nowhere on any of his shit.
Yep. Yep. And what happens when you make beats, you can keep the best for yourself. All right.
I ain't even gonna say, I'm gonna say that to say that too. Pierre Bourne, he done gave away his best beats. Cause hit that young nudie tape on him.
Pierre too, he might be the type. Even though it might be his best beat, he know who the best one on it, cause he don't even rap about the shit new to do, so it might not even match the beat that he you know what I'm talking about, he about to get on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he probably just picking his good, but now all the beats he make his beats like he himself a rap on, so that's why mm-hmm. he always making good ass beats. Cause he be making them bitches
them good ass songs.
He be making them bitches with himself in mind. He don't be giving a fuck about nobody else. If
hey, bro, he be in the beat making session like, I'm gonna kill this shit.
Hell yeah. He be like, I already got the bars together. Young Chop,
y'all ain't rich.
Young Chop one that needs to be mentioned more too.
Oh God, Young Chop did a lot for the drill movement, hip hop in general.
Yeah, drill movement still.
Speaker Knockers, Kid Cudi, and Travis Scott need memorials built to them for real.
Speaker Knockers for sure, especially since they done passed away. R.I.P.
I swear, I ain't talking about memorial. I meant like statues soon in Hip Hop Hall of Fame.
That was a memorial, son. I said, yeah, especially Speaker Knockers since they did. Ain't nobody.
Oh no!
So you said the right thing. You said the right thing. I was agreeing with you. I said
I didn't mean memorial for all three of them though.
Well, Speaker Knockers need one, especially since they did. That's
all.
Oh, sure.
Though he need.
That's
all. He I need said, one so. In Atlanta for sure.
Yeah. I thought Speaker Knockers was from Atlanta. I thought that was from Texas or some shit. But that was from.
I think he Atlanta.
Atlanta. Sure, it ain't surprising.
Research department.
Yeah, ain't surprised. We ain't got enough money for that. Yeah, I'm over here talking on my keyboard though. Man, who else you got on your list?
DJ Screw. The Texas movement was crazy. That whole 2000s Texas on Chopping Screw way. People need to. Ooh, back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all want me. Mike Jones. Chopped and Screwed album, mm-hmm. bro. That whole Texas wave was going crazy. It's still going crazy.
Yeah, even in the city, it never left. In Houston. Houston, it never left. It's always been big.
Who else? Lil Jon. He didn't get that producer credit he deserved to that Versus battle for sure.
Man, I done Googled Speaker Knockers and I'm looking at his stuff. He was born in New York though, but I'm looking at that. Don't necessarily mean, you know what I'm saying, that's where he was raised at. So I was looking around, but I couldn't find none other than like where he was found deceased at. That's all I could find other than where he was born. That's about it. So he could.
Where we found it? I can't.
South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, in his garage. It's not. He could have been from South Carolina. You never know. He might have been home.
You really can't.
Yeah.
I know he made waves in Atlanta though.
Yeah.
Metro Boomin. Hey, can I be honest, bro? I know Metro Boomin is the only producer that can put out a mixtape with just beats and make a killing like this. If he did a rapper's best friend like the Alchemist do, on God, dudes would be killing, lining up to rap on it.
Yeah, that's something he'll have to do. I'll be thinking about that too, but unless they release it like on let's say exclusively on Apple Music or something, that'll be the only way a producer would do it. And the only reason I say that, because any other way, they won't make money off of it. Like the shit Alchemist be dropping on Rapper's Best Friend, even though Alchemist like a solid producer, everybody can tell that the shit on Rapper's Best Friends ain't the shit that he was ready to put on the tape, but he just didn't want to scrap them. So that's what I gotta say about that. Like Metro, like I can see Metro Boomin and all of them doing something like that, but the reason why they don't is just because they gonna make money off of it. Because you gotta think about it, if they make a Rapper's Delight or something like that, everybody will be rapping on the beats, especially if they good beats or even half as good as most of his shit. A lot of people be rapping off of him. Eventually, some will make records, and some of them records might chart. And he, granted they could get checks from them records charting because they'll have producer credit on it. Otherwise, it'll be copyright on the person that made the song. But that still wouldn't be as much money they would get. It's not even as much money. It wouldn't even be a livable amount of money from what they would get by just selling the beat to an artist, if you know what I'm saying. Like they mm-hmm. sell, if they sell just one beat to like a artist for them to rap on, you talking like maybe 50K and up. But if you release something like a Rapper's Best Friend, then you gotta rely on getting paid by streams and shit. And everybody know how fucked up streams is. Like Spotify pay like for 100,000 streams, you might get $1,300, and that ain't shit compared to selling one beat to somebody and get 100,000. So that's probably why they don't do it. Cause we know they love making beats. So I mean, ain't no doubt that the passion
making beats, Shane. These dudes live. So
yeah. Ain't no doubt they like the passion to do it. It's probably just the fact that if they do it, they more likely to get fucked over money wise.
Yeah. But clearly the Alchemist ain't hurting for no money, because he been putting out Rapper's Best Friends for about what? A minute, for sure.
But like I just said, like we love Alchemist, but we know, you know what I'm saying, that that's just not his, what he think is his best shit. But, I mean, they be solid beats, but everybody know that they not the best a rap Alchemist beat can get by far. You know what I'm saying?
They ain't know his complete beats, like the ones that appear from the real song.
Yeah. They still good beats, but they not, you know what I'm saying?
I want to hear them beats he'll sell you. Oh, that's the ones I want to hear.
Man, I'm telling you, if they value streams more, I guarantee you, like if shit companies like Spotify and Apple Music and all that value streams more than they would, but they don't. Like if they made it more profitable for screens than they would, but they don't. So that's why. And also too, Spotify pays people more for per 100,000 streams than any other platform. I've been thinking about switching the title. Title pays more than any other streaming platform for streams to artists. So I've been thinking about switching the title. See, even though I'm rapping nothing like that, but my student account about to be up with Spotify anyway. Hell, I might as well go ahead and help support other people's pockets. While paying the same price,
I would
if
I was
Spotify.
Let's give some more Jay-Z, some more of this young semi-black money.
Yeah, I mean, we might as well. So we're gonna be paying the same price as you do for Spotify and all the rest of that stuff. You might as well let your favorite rapper get paid more too. That's what it's all for the love of their music.
my Spotify playlist crazy though. I ain't finna go through title and try to find my whole Spotify section.
Nah, it's gonna be there, cause I was just doing it yesterday. I was looking through it. Everything you can find on Spotify, you can find on title, except for Spotify exclusives. And Spotify don't really have exclusive records; they just have exclusive podcasts. Yeah. So I've been going through
the Joe Rogan Experience.
Yeah. It's worth it if you really want people to get paid for it. Only reason I'm thinking like that, cause if one of my homeboys start popping off on records and shit, I want them to get paid the maximum amount of money. I don't want everybody to be on Spotify listening to that shit where if everybody would be on Tidal, they'll be making bank instead of being on Spotify making a million streams and shit and barely be able to afford a car. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Gotta love each other. So that's all I got on that though, man. What else you want to talk about as far? Unless you're done with the producer conversation.
I'm thinking about too, like, what producer that had the best album? come out. EPs included.
What? Albums that they helped produce?
No, just like Metro Boomin's Without Warning.
Yeah, like albums they helped produce. Like they produced on. Like they produced the track on. So like, Metro Boomin's Without Warning with 21 Savage and Offset. And like Hit Boy recently with the Nas King's Disease, where they produce every track. Mm-hmm. All right,
I'm gonna say mine is The Alchemist Fetty with Currency and Freddie Gibbs.
Oh, like that. Well, that Fetty story is so fucking funny, bro. If you know the backstory behind it,
that's just we talked about it on the podcast
about them beefing over this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny to me. That's hilarious.
I like how competitive they got about it.
Damn, they wasn't paying Freddie. I'll be competitive too. Already. Ain't no way.
I swear.
They hyped it up. All three of us going to be on one mixtape, and you going to fuck around and do me all greasy like that and shit. I'm looking at...
I swear.
I wish Aminé made beats. I feel like his beats would be awesome. I'm trying to think.
I swear.
Who's some more albums that were produced by people that you like your top, like you said, producer albums.
Man, one of for sure with DJ Premier. When he did his stuff with early on Jay-Z.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the camera and the stuff he did with Dipset. Okay. Like Cameron's Follow Me Home. Well, Come Home. I can't remember the name of that Cameron album with Old Boy on it, but.
Dude, just say Cameron Premier album. Yeah. They'll know it's one. Is the Premier produce all the tracks on them, though?
Uh-uh. No, it's like he produced a lot of them, though.
We doing majority tracks they produce or what?
Yeah, like if they had like more than half of the track list on it. All
right, I'm gonna try to keep my shit that they produced every one. Though.
Life of Pierre Bourne Part 4 for sure.
Yeah. For me, one of my first pieces will be Dormtainment Room Noise Volume 1. Mike Down produced the shit out of it. It's a comedy. They a comedy group, a comedy collective. But they Room Noise is a segment. I don't know if I talked about it on here, but I always think it's praises. They like go in the room and they pick random topics and random beat ideas, and then they go in there and they make the beat and they make the chorus and the song all in one session. And they have like videos of it. This shit awesome. And Room Noise is funny, but it's like a vibe too. Like it's a nice summer album, but it's a comedy album too. So I fucks with that. What else I would put on there? You hardly ever find find whole albums produced by one person, unless they produce it too.
Dr. Dre 2001.
Yeah.
The Chronic.
You listen out some more of your stuff.
Uh huh. Them two for sure. All
right.
Cause them two. Real talk, no two of the best hip hop albums back to back released by one person.
Over DMX and his two albums he released in the same year. I don't know, that's a bold statement, son.
I'm talking about back to back though. Like
they were back to back. They was the same year, and both of them.
You know, yeah. I'm saying Dr. Dre. First off, DMX ain't messing with Dr. Dre. 2001. Bro, DMX ain't got nothing that beats 2001.
I don't know. Nate Dogg
on hooks.
Nate Dogg wasn't on all them hooks though.
He was on most of them.
But the ones he wasn't on, DMX might be beating them.
Nope. Cause then you got Eminem, you got Corrupt, you got Snoop Dogg on the cut, you got Exhibit, X to the Z, you got Pimp My Rides on the.
First off,
on the track, bro.
Exhibit shit ain't beat. None of Exhibit stuff not beating DMX. I'm sorry.
Oh no. he went hard when he was rapping for Dre.
Exhibit by himself? Like, no.
Oh no, hell no. Corrupt by himself ain't messing with DMX.
Oh no. I'm trying to.
Now Nate Dogg, Music and Me. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I got love for.
Okay, I got one. I got another one to add on to that. My first one was Dawn Taming Room Noise Volume 1. And Room Noise Volume 2 supposed to drop soon. It's Thundercat. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. I fuck
with that Dragon Ball Durag.
Mm-hmm.
How do I look? Durag. Tyler, the Creator, he produces all his shit, too. So, the last. But he be having guest producers, too. So.
Hey, Flower Boy is still... Should have won a Grammy.
Yeah, he produced. Okay. I'm looking at one of his track lists just to make sure he produced most of the stuff on it. Even though he produces him, I ain't going to go out and say he produced everything on all his albums. he could get, you know what I'm saying, help. But it looked like he produced everything, at least on Igor. And I really fuck with Igor. So I'll say.
Igor is good, but I think Flower Boy still his best album, though.
I wasn't saying Igor is his best album. I was saying Igor good. I just checked the track list and he was the producer on all of it. I'm just.
I just wanted.
You just said it, so we heard your microphone on, son.
I'm just giving my opinion. I ain't saying. I
know what you just said, my brother. We got you. We heard.
The merch for Flower Boy, I really like though.
Yeah, I fuck with the Converse. They dropping shit too.
What?
That
was dope.
Another one. Shoot, since we've been doing it, since we were just talking about Pierre Bourne, it's Slimier with Young Nudy, mm-hmm. Pierre and Bourne. That's a good
yes,
one.
Lord.
That's a good one.
That opening track, boy.
Matter of fact, since you just said yes, Lord. Anderson .Paak and No Words. Nah, Anderson. Knowledge produced the whole thing. Anderson .Paak. Did his thing on the whole thing, but it was a producer, producer, singer, songwriter duo. I could put that one on there too. I'm on Spotify too, huh?
That count.
Oh yeah. I know. Because it's a producer's artist collector. So Anderson.
Hey, Sid. Sid's album.
I was just looking.
What's the name of it?
I was just looking at it. It's Sid, I think. If I'm not mistaken, the name of it is Sid.
No, it's called Finn.
Finn, okay. Yeah.
Like Finale.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, Black
this
verse
produce,
on Over.
Did you produce any records on there, though?
I don't know. I ain't even look at the credits.
Shoot, I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at it right now. She produced a couple, but the first two I saw was like Hit Boy and Nav Green. Not Nav Green. Was it Nav Green? Nav Green, a comedian. Nick Green.
I often say if it's Al Green.
Nah, Nav Green. I thought it was Nav Green.
I often say, boy, if you say Al Green, got to put his foot in one of them beats.
Oh, nah. You know Nav Green, though, off of 85 South Show, the fat dude that be on there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll say, I know. I think I'm tripping. Yeah. But she did. It looked like she produced over half of it on there, so I give you that one.
Bruh. Shit. Black got the best verse ever on Over, bruh.
Shit, man. I'm about to throw one in there. We both forgot about.
What?
Travis Scott, Astro World. Even though he might not have solely produced everything by himself, because he did, like, have everybody fly out to the compound and whatever.
We know what he did.
He got producing credits on all the tracks. I'll give you that. Yeah.
Hold on, Roost. You know what he did? He didn't let nobody touch them drums.
Oh, nah. They ain't touching the drum and ain't fucking with the auto tune. That's all him.
I swear. Yeah.
That's all him.
Rolling, got me stargazing.
Shoot, let me, man.
Hey, bro, somebody I think will make dope beats for real.
Who? So if we talking producer, we ain't even say it. Alchemist and Conway the Machine. What's the name?
Yep. It's Lulu.
Yeah, Lulu. Yeah.
Bro, that DJ Ghost, or not Ghost. What's his name? That dropped with Conway. That No One Mourns the Wicked.
Nah, I ain't seen that one. It must have just came out. Oh, it's older.
Hold up. Let me find who did that.
Hold boy, you gotta hear it. Like, what the cover look like?
Big Ghost. But
what the cover? It's called. Like?
It's like Conway. But it's a skull with a gold chain on it with a bucket hat.
Let me see.
Ooh, boy.
Oh yeah, that just came out. It just came out.
Boy, ooh, son.
It's good.
Ooh, Conway at his best, talking that gutter shit.
Alright, I'll have to check that one out then.
Ooh, Sharp, bro. The song to check out first. Don't even go down the order of the list. You gotta check out Sharp Guts for that beat.
Alright.
Mm.
Let me see. Shoot, Alchemist, Lunch Meat. Well, all the Alchemist shit. Yacht Rock 2, all that.
Because I swear. That's what. It ain't even fair to say the Alchemist on it. Because Alchemist, I ain't heard of the Alchemist putting out a bad project.
Nah, it ain't fair, but it's fair because we talking about producer album.
Yeah, you're right.
We talking about producer album.
I swear.
It's fair because he be having joint shit and he got his shit by himself.
Did Childish Gambino do his own beat work or did he hire somebody out for it? Or all his shit?
I don't know, but I put. Childish don't do beats, I don't think.
Oh, shit.
Childish don't do beats.
I was trying to get Donald Glover a hat he didn't even want to wear.
Oh, yeah, I don't think he do beats. I ain't never heard of him doing something.
I wish he would, because I feel like that would be amazing.
Shoot, I'm looking at Critics here. I was trying to see a Big Crit. I know he produced a couple on this joint, but I don't think he produced everything. Yeah, he might have produced.
Hey, you could say Catalactica.
Yeah, some of his earlier works, yeah, but Critics.
Yeah, Catalactica and Critics here.
Crit was here. Yeah. Critics here.
Yeah.
He produced.
My bad.
He only produced Blue Flame Ballet, I want to say, because he was talking about it in the interview. Cause he said, you know, it's here because you can tell by the way it's produced.
We forgot somebody else too, son.
Who?
J. Cole, 2014 Forest Hills Drive.
I ain't know J. Cole was out here producing this stuff.
He usually produced all his own albums. His first three for sure.
Okay, I thought
Friday Night Lights.
I thought he was just no features. I thought he had like guests come in for the producing and all this shit. You hear me, Zoe? This dude Zoe done went out on us.
Yeah, I hear you now.
Hey, I was about to keep on without you, man. I was about to say, hey, do we only do one take? I was gonna wait in here till you came back in. I was gonna stop. But you hear me though? I ain't know J. Cole produced. I ain't know J. Cole even produced his stuff. I thought like it was just him with no features. I thought he was
Russ before Russ.
Dang, son, you were gonna cut me off. I'll try and get my thought out.
You were stuttering.
Cause you kept cutting me off. I can't think you messed me up. I was gonna say J. Cole though. I thought he was only like that like on features. I thought like when it came down to producing and stuff like that he did bring people in for. I thought it was just the features that he only let himself be on the song, nobody else.
He had engineers the mix, but far as making the beats, it was all Cole.
Right. I'm looking at his
for like the first three.
I'm looking at his KOD and I was looking at his KOD in 2014 Forest Hill Drive. He the only producer. Well, I'm seeing he only producer that coming up, but a lot of them songs had more than one writer on them, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna hold you on that one. J. Cole, what's the thing? You all in house or you reaching out of house? But it,
hey, you can't tell no us about Cole like that, bro. The man, can't nobody else rap like that. The voice.
J. Cole hate black women. I can talk trash about him.
He don't hate black women. Where?
J. Cole hate black women. I ain't gotta talk about him. But who else you got? All right. Who else you got on there though? Oh, yo,
I can't think of nobody else.
Yeah,
everybody, Mac made some of his own beats. I ain't gonna say he made all his own beats.
Matter of fact, I got you one right now.
Who?
Lil Boat mixtape, Burberry Perry.
Oh, it's not for real?
Burberry Perry, yeah. Cause that was when Lil Yachty was still new, and like his only producer that he could only get was him and it was only Burberry Perry or the Good Perry. That's like the only producer he could get because that was his friend. Lil Bo was literally just them in them in like their mom house somewhere. He didn't produce every track on there, but he produced like 80%, I'll say.
Hey, they're better than them.
Yeah. That's why I don't like young Lil Yachty new shit because he don't be having Burberry Perry come on and produce a lot of his tracks no more. I noticed that. Like on Lil Boat 3, Burberry Perry don't have one track on there he produced. I think they must have.
It's probably the best track.
Yeah.
Not just that though. It's hard to stay. Can you imagine you help produce half of a project and the only person that get famous off of it is the nigga that they're singing? Come on now. I was him for this.
Yeah. Burberry Perry sure didn't sign a QC, but you should have here. If QC gonna sign fucking Lil Yachty, then might as well sign Perry head.
The dude who helped make some of the tracks.
Yeah, you gotta keep that chemistry strong. That's key to an artist.
Oh God.
You gotta keep that chemistry strong.
Or real talk, you just don't sign.
Yep.
And just make projects together. Sign an agent and be like, hey, we gonna stay together for a couple of years and keep making projects. Yeah. Just keep booking us in venues.
Yachty shit was different though. From what I know about his story, that nigga had to sign. Cause you know he had dropped out of college and he told his mom give him a year to get famous off of rap.
So, yeah.
And if it wasn't for QC, he probably wouldn't have been able to show him. Not to the average black parent. You can't just show a bunch of Instagram followers and be like, see my aunt made it. Now she got to see you performing and shit.
So that's true.
He the exception to that just because if it wasn't for QC, he probably would. His mom would have made it.
Went back to school. He'd have went back to school.
Yeah, yeah.
And you already been know how black mama is?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I got one.
You made that motherfucker promise to her. She going to make you still today. She going
to. No matter how grown you get.
She going to make you stick today. Already.
Yachty going to be 30. Yeah, that fell off. Get back. Go back to school.
Hey. All right. Since we done discussed the producers.
What's up?
Excuse me. How about we talk about recent music that done came out? What you done been listening to lately?
Conway the Machine. No One Mourns the Wicked. Six Piece Hot by Black. Okay. What else came out recently? Puya dropped a new song. I'm messing with it hard.
Okay.
Who else done drop something new?
No, it ain't even got to be new stuff you done revisited that you ain't heard in a minute, like a long time.
Oh. Because the internet charges Gambino.
Okay.
Gorillaz, Sire, 93 Till Infinity, and what else? Action Bronson, Lamb Over Rice.
Me,
I'm it.
You still going? Go ahead.
Yeah, M&A 1.5 because that's just in the rotation. Yeah. Belly Immigrant, hardest intro I ever heard. Was second hardest behind Talent Talk 3. But what else? I listened to Big L, The Big Picture, and The Lifestyles of the Poor and Dangerous, and Bones. Scumbag and Garbage.
Alright. That's it.
Trap Soul and Earl Sweatshirt. All Earl Sweatshirt.
Alright. Shoot for me. Y'all know I like to just go off of what's on my Spotify because I just had it pulled up when we on here. Jaden Smith just dropped Cool Taste Volume 3. I heard a couple tracks off of it, the first couple. It sound cool. It sound more. The first couple sound more on the pop side, but I know
And I know how Jada and Smith doing, like he'll just have like different sides to every album. So I just have to go back and listen to it all the way through to see how it sounds. Bodie James, he do a lot of work with Griselda. I don't think he signed to Griselda yet, but he did the Versace tape. And the Versace, oh dang, let's go back to the producer one too. The Versace tape, it's all produced by Jay Versace. So that's cool. That's nice to see, because Jay Versace, just him being an internet personality, we often forget that he just a exceptional,
a super talented beat maker.
And the people he worked with is like super, super duper ass street niggas. And if you know Jay Versace, they don't seem like the type of people he'll be doing work with. But
true.
The Versace tape, I listened to that one actually maybe about 3 times through. It's pretty good. It's a short one. I want to say it's maybe like 30 minutes. It's a nice one though. It's a nice smooth listen, especially with the Jay Versace beats. I've been listening to Lil Boat 3, just a couple tracks off of that, not too much, like Pardon Me and all this stuff. Limbo by Aminé, that album that recently came out, that shit is amazing. That shit fucking amazing. Who else? Hold up, y'all. Some of the shit save on my Spotify, I don't really look at them like that. Chief Keef dropped a song with Mike Will Made It. I heard it many a time. Bang Bang, it just came out. Put me back in the mood like I was in 2014. Go ahead, Zo.
Hey, bro. Another one I forgot to say, Playboi Carti, Die Lit.
Yeah, they ain't never left the rotation.
I swear.
They ain't never left the rotation. That's like the one that said, I don't even bring it up no more, because I literally listen to something over there every day. I don't even shoot them. Oh, as far as like going back to stuff though, I recently, since Jaden Smith came, since his Cool Taste Volume 3 came out, I went back and listened to Aries a couple times. Still amazing. And
that dude is an underrated storyteller for real.
Thank Me Later. Thank Me Later by Drake. I've been listening to that heavy lately. And If You're Reading This, It's Too Late. If You're Reading This, It's Too Late, that might be my favorite Drake album to me.
That's a great choice. That might
be my favorite Drake
album. That's a hard one to beat, for sure.
Yeah. That's a good one too. And it was like a surprise drop from what I remember. Yeah, it was a surprise drop.
Yeah.
He didn't have no promo or nothing coming out for it. It wasn't no lead singles or anything from what I remember. Maybe Energy, but I don't even think Energy was.
Energy video came out after the tape drop. Okay. I think. But for me personally, Drake, as far as Drake releases, the best Drake album to me is Take Care, for sure.
Alright.
It got the best features.
See, Take Care will be my Which one? The one with him sitting at the table? That's Drake. Take Care, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's everybody's favorite one by Drake. But If You're Reading This Too Late, it might be my favorite one. I have to go back.
Oh,
I had Take Care in my rotation. I haven't had Take Care in my rotation lately. But just going off of If You're Reading This, It's Too Late. Yeah, it's probably gonna be If You're Reading This Too Late right now.
Can I tell you my little hack for ranking them too?
You can go ahead.
If I want rapping Drake, I won't take If You're Reading This, It's Too Late. If I want R&B into his feelings, Drake, Take Care every time.
I got you. What else? I messed up. Shoreline Mafia dropped something called Mafia Business. I haven't really dived into it like I usually do Shoreline Mafia shit, but it sounds like the general, you know what I'm saying? They don't ever fall off when it comes to content. They usually, for lack of a better word, talk about the same shit most of the time, but it is always, yeah, you know what to expect from them. They always deliver. They always have a nice consistency of music. But one thing I will say about this mixtape, they never have features, but on this one, every song has a feature to it. So I think like what they were doing is kind of what they approached to it was, this gonna be the feature heavy one. Literally every song has a feature on it, except for two. And that's saying a lot, because they never have features. Like, they've never had a feature.
Maybe they were always so deep though.
Yeah, now it's only you got Rob Vicious, you got OGZ, Phoenix Flex, and you got Master Kato. Yeah, you got four. Yeah, it's on.
Yeah, they were deep.
Yeah, but this one, man. Hey. The only reason I brought it up, because they got big features. Like, they got Future. They got Duke Deuce, Wiz Khalifa, Drake Yo, The Ruler, One Take J, YG, they got like big names on it, Kodak Black, Lil Yachty. Yeah. That's why I had to bring it up, because like they features big. So what I think they did was low key. I think like they were stacking the label money. I don't even think they got signed to a label, but they were stacking their money from the other mixtapes, saving up and collecting features, so they could drop one tape that was feature heavy. That's what I think they approached this one was. And before I forget, Too Lyrical by Rhapsody. That it just came out too. It was like a little EP. Hold up, 6 songs, 22 minutes long. It's very good. If you like Rhapsody, fuck with it. If you like some nice, cool riding vibe shit, it's Still Lyrical.
I gotta check that out, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, I've been checking your girl out, bro.
Who my girl?
Z. SZA, Z and Control, what? Ooh.
Man, I ain't listened to Control in about 2 years, but if I listen to it, I'ma cry. I just leave it alone. I know how good it is. I ain't gotta listen to it.
I swear.
Bring up
to me. I had to. And Trippy Red, I've been listening to that first, A Love Letter to You. Ooh, boy. When Love Scars first dropped, bruh. He used to say you want love. I used to say that shit back. Ooh, bruh. That was a vibe.
Yeah. Far forget to Gold Link stay on my list. I mean, stay in my rotation. Diaspora, Internet Money dropped something. That's what I was gonna say. Internet Money, you know how like on some Trigger Red songs you hear like Internet Money, bitch. I don't know if that's a producer or what. I don't know if it's a producer or a collective, but they just dropped a album on Spotify. If you go to new releases, it should be there. It got like features from Juice WRLD, Lil Tecca, like all the younger, like SoundCloud niggas.
Hey, bro, carry the podcast for me. I gotta go do something.
All right. Yeah, y'all. It's I don't know if y'all could probably let us know. I'm gonna put a link to where y'all could leave a voice message so we can respond to y'all later on in the description of the podcast. So make sure to check that out. But just let me know if Internet Money is a collective or a producer. From what I could tell, it's a collective. If so, that's still hella cool. But still, it looked like a producer collective from the picture. But yeah, the Internet Money project Before the Storm has like Lil Tecca, shoot, Future, Sway Lee, Juice WRLD, Trippy Red, 24K Golden, Kevin Gates, Nav, Don Toliver, shoot. That one kind of nice. And also too, before I forget, throwback. If any of y'all familiar with Black culture, y'all know about the song Bunny Hop and how it has a fun place in all of our memories, from cookouts and people getting drunk and all that stuff. But that's been my rotation heavy. It's just one thing about Bunny Hop, I feel like it's just a good feel time song. Like, it's a good feeling song. Give y'all good feelings year round. And also too, I don't even know if Zoe know this, but Lil Wayne's No Ceilings just dropped on all platforms like maybe Friday, I wanna say. But yeah, so No Ceilings, if y'all know anything about No Ceilings, it's like one of the best Lil Wayne mixtapes ever. And it was like a mixtape, like in every sense of it. So you wasn't able to find it nowhere, like on any type of streaming service for years. Because I remember checking, like, but now it recently came out and it's available on all platforms. So that's what's up. Like, before, you can only find it literally on YouTube if you wanted to stay in one solid place for it without going to like a internet site that would have gave you hella ass and shit. What else been in my rotation? Burna Boy new album just came out, Twice as Tall. That's a nice album. I like Wonderful on there. Well, I don't like the beginning of Wonderful. I'm not gonna hold this, it's too happy for me. But I like Way Too Big. I like every song on there. I ran to it. It's a nice song. Monsters You Made with Chris Martin from he from some European band. He on there. It's still good. Yeah, he got Naughty by Nature on one song. And it's coincidentally, the song is titled Naughty by Nature. But he probably did that on purpose. But I still fucks with it. Nas's King Disease has been my heavy rotation. I know I mentioned that back with the producer and producer albums. But it's still, excuse me, it's still a very solid album. I had that on my I've had that in my heavy rotation for last week or two since it came out. That's pretty much it. I guess I keep talking to y'all to Zoe come back. I don't know what he's doing. But anyway, Let me think. Is there anything else I've been listening to in my rotation as of lately? Soul food, I hop in it from every now and then. That's about it. Yeah, that's about it for stuff that I've been listening to deep in. That I've been listening to in my regular rotation. But what else? Shoot, I got another topic we could talk about. So it just left my mind for some reason.
Oh, another thing for the listeners, everybody go listen to the Nappy Roots Watermelon Chicken and Grits. You will not be disappointed.
Hold up, shoot. We plugging people. Go ahead and hop over to Coolie Kenzo Means Something. Go ahead and listen to that one time.
Oh, God. But that's I just didn't have a classic project.
I just said Susan Job people. I didn't know who that was.
Oh.
I didn't know who that
go
was.
Go listen to Coolie Kenzo. Bruh, that's a fire song.
Yeah. I thought you were dropping like somebody off of Instagram or something, so I'll just go ahead and drop a song too.
Shoot, the Nappy Roots. All my life I've been poor, but it really don't matter no more.
Oh, okay. Shoot, I just dropped Bunny Hop too. From the Entourage.
Mm-hmm.
This shit.
Gold
amazing.
Link Crew though. That's the best comeback song I done heard in a minute.
Hold up. Nah, I ain't even out far front, man. Zoe, you gotta go listen to Royal Rumble by Lil Tecca too. That shit hard. Lil Tecca been busy, man. Between Royal Rumble and the Royal Rumble and his features on Internet Money album, which I suggest you go listen to. I feel like you're gonna like it, though. Well, everybody need to go listen to it, man. Trust me, bro. The Internet Money shit and Lil Tecca, man. They hard. And I just told the listeners, but since you had stepped out, I'll say it again. No Ceilings as of Friday, I want to say, is now available on all streaming platforms. Because, you know, before it was like a mixtape in every sense of the word. Like, you couldn't find it anywhere but like on mixtape sites and on YouTube. But now they have it on Spotify, Apple Music, and everything. Like, officially.
Internet World.
No Ceilings.
Oh, yes.
It's official on every streaming platform.
Bro, I already downloaded it, bro.
I was telling the fans that when you stepped out, that's why I had to go ahead and re-mention it just in case you didn't hear about it. I got another topic we can talk about too, and I really want to talk about it. It's about podcasts and how this shit might end up affecting us if we get big enough at one point.
Right.
Well, end up affecting us. I said, oof. Okay, so I'm a regular listener to the Joe Budden podcast. Y'all need to go check them out, but they recently announced that their contract is ending with Spotify soon. I think they have like 6 more episodes left off of a 2-year contract, and they have announced they're not returning to Spotify. Reason being is because in the 2 years that they went to Spotify, they knew initially that they was really signing to Spotify, and this is all on the podcast, and y'all need to check it out if y'all podcasters and y'all want to just be serious about everything. Well, I hear you. Zoe, hear you.
I know.
Oh man. Oh yeah. But basically,
hold on.
Put it on mute. Put yourself on mute. Basically, Joe Budden podcast, they were signing a deal initially just for a statistic analysis reason. That's what they say. I believe, but sometimes Joe be sounding like a crazy old man. But really, it's really integral to like what they were going through to podcasters, those that are up and coming, because basically 2 years ago nobody was signed to an exclusive Spotify deal, no podcast at all. Joe Budden podcast was the first podcast.
Damn family, bro. All
right, you heard what I just said, G?
I was listening the whole time, just watching my family do crazy shit. All
right. So ain't nothing wrong with that, man. All right, so Joe Budden podcast, they recently announced that they were leaving. but they were the first podcast that Spotify officially signed to an exclusive deal. And the reason why they did that was because they wanted to see what Joe Budden podcast, they crew of people, you know, Joe Budden, Mal, Roy, and Parks, and then everybody behind the scenes. They were really just wanted to see what the podcast space would turn out to be and, like, if they could, like, turn it into bigger offers. But I'm saying all that because the reason why they're leaving is whenever they got there, nothing was certain about the podcasting. Because, like I said, they were the first people to ever sign, like, out of everybody, Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, Joe Rogan. Nobody had exclusive deal to Spotify before Joe Budden podcast.
I mean, Joe Budden is one of the most polarizing figures in hip hop. Mm-hmm. An old man yelling about, mad about the way things used, bad things at the way they used to be, mad about change.
Oh, no, that's not Joe anymore. You got to listen to the podcast, but that's not what I'm getting at.
I like laughing at Joe Budden talking shit. I'm just gonna be real with you.
Yeah, he ain't an angry old man. He, like, even when he went viral for the Yachty shit, he wasn't even mad about Yachty for being new and young. He was mad about him for not knowing his deal, which turned out to bite Yachty in the ass.
Sure did. Real.
So, I mean, if Joe a crazy old man, is he an old man that care about you?
He like Rafiki off of on the Lion King.
He done been through it. He just trying to tell you what it is.
He wise. He seen you crazy till you start listening.
That kind of going to this podcast and stuff too, because he didn't go on a rant, but everybody calling it a rant. But the two podcasts ago, if you're looking at the episodes on Spotify, he went on like an hour. Damn near the whole podcast was like 3 hours episode, which is like a 3 hour episode. He went in a while like, What Spotify was doing to try to get them to stay there. They were doing like record label shit. Like, they were, like, when they were in negotiations, they were taking them to buy them Rolexes and shit. And Joe Budden literally said, You must think I'm new to this shit. Like, I'm from music. Music do this shit all the time. And what he meant by that, and people don't understand, is that instead of giving him like money that he actually deserved, they just were trying to wine and dine them for the reading up. Renegotiation instead of offering them more money that they more likely are entitled to. They just went out to buy them a watch. Like, they did get the watches, which I ain't mad at, but you know what I'm saying, they were trying to distract them from the real worth. And the reason why I'm saying is because, like, if we ever get big one day, this will affect us. Even now at this smaller level, it's gonna affect us. But because they're fighting not for podcasts to get paid everything, but at least what they owe, especially from a streaming standpoint, because the Joe Budden podcast would have stayed, but they said even though the money Spotify had offered them after the renegotiation was well over what they signed for the original deal, and so I'm gonna let you speak on this in a second. Even though the deal that they offered them was way above the original deal, it still wasn't nothing compared to them being the number one Spotify podcast at this time, because Lord knows what's gonna happen when Joe Rogan get on it. But it looks like
Joe Rogan gonna push numbers through the
Yeah, but it looks like Joe Budden podcast, it's 6 episodes left, so Joe Budden podcast should be ending right before Joe Rogan's begins. And the reason why I'm saying that is because Joe Budden podcast has literally been number one on Spotify since it got on there. Maybe not charts wise. Like, if you go to Spotify charts, you're not gonna see him on number one. But as far as listener retention, which Joe Budden on the Joe Budden podcast, I don't know if Spotify said this or not. Like, we don't know any public statements. But from what he was saying, they tried to tell them that they didn't go off of listener retention, which that means like how long the average listener listens to your podcast, which is obviously complete bullshit. And what I was saying is that their listener retention is on average 2 hours. So that tells me them being the number one.
Somebody interested in you talking for 2 hours straight.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Most of the millions of their listeners, not just like, you know what I'm saying? Not just like the average bunch of people, but if they number one, they listener retention, if they getting a million listens and their listener retention is 2 hours, that mean the average, a million people are on average at least listen to that podcast 2 hours a day. or 2 hours every time an episode comes out. And they were, that's what they were really upset about, because the offer that they offered them, even though it was more genius than what they first signed, as numbers wise and compared to listener retention and them being number one for 2 years since they came on there, and seeing how many people signed exclusive Spotify deals after them being the first ones, they said it was not a good enough number. He said he wants to at least have him and the rest of his co-hosts be millionaires after the after they sign that next deal, which tells me is that they first deal couldn't have been more than 20 mil, if you ask me. And I don't even think 20 mil is right now, because if you have three other people on your podcast plus everybody behind scenes, and your three other counterparts aren't at least getting paid $1 million a year, that tells me that deal was extremely low. And if he was willing to walk away with that just because the simple fact that they weren't paying them what they was worth, and on top of that, because I feel like Joe being the stand-up nigga that he seemed like he is, if the rest of everybody else was going to get like $1 million or so a year off of that deal as well, then he probably would have stayed just off of that because they his homeboys and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But since on top of you not giving them what they worth and you not going to make everybody else a millionaire, then he has ample right to leave. So that I'm gonna let you take over as though, but that's all I was saying, because this might affect us at some point when we get to that magnitude of podcast.
Hey, I'm just listening to everything you just said. I would have did the same thing, straight up. If, like, let's say me, you, and our other homies like Sam, Brunson, the whole crew.
Yeah.
That we got to get D-Boy on here one day.
So I got to do a download Discord, but go ahead. We'll talk about that later.
That ain't do with my thought process on this. If I was in a position where we all couldn't eat, like, not even them being promo guest stars, managing the audio, all that, like, if they can't eat, like, dudes who gonna be managing our audio and our visuals and stuff.
Regular staff members.
Yeah, like, if they ain't millionaires while we eating on camera, and he still gotta go work a 9-to-5 job and edit my shit. Nah, bro. We ain't doing this.
Exactly.
And plus, Joe Budden got music money.
Real talk. It might just be,
let's be real,
it up, but he got it.
But pump it up. I'm gonna say, why pump it up for real? It was in You Got Served, bro. It was a main song and You Got Served.
And it was on Def Jam. Don't forget, it was on Def Jam too.
Yes.
You get
so,
Game Man movie money from that.
I swear, Joe Budden he really doing this for shits and giggles.
Yup.
Well, yo, the fact that he willing to walk away from money though, so the whole team can eat, Joe Rogan got my respect. Not Joe Rogan, Joe Budden got my respect.
I feel like too. I want to say hopefully they go to.
I hope. Hey, oh yeah. Hold up. And another thing to Spotify. I hope y'all know what y'all getting yourselves into with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
He ain't no bitch.
One thing I forgot to mention that Joe Budden said they were trying to do with that deal. Can you hear me? Because I was holding the microphone away from him. You hear me good?
What up? I hear you now.
All right. One thing that Joe Budden was talking about that they tried to do for the second deal, even though he said it was more than what the original deal was, is that Spotify wanted to have possession over all the properties and all the videos, like the pull up series where he like interview people like Vince Staples.
Oh hell no!
They were trying to get property of that so it could be exclusively on Spotify, as well as his previous podcast episodes before he signed the Spotify deal. So like maybe 200 episodes worth of Spotify. Yeah, 200 episodes worth of podcasts. All of them will be exclusively on Spotify too. And I could imagine, yeah, unless they, and since no headlines came out about how much money they was offered, I guarantee you it wasn't even enough to bat an eye at for all that stuff they were trying to get from.
You need at least 200 mil to sell all your properties like that.
Man, what Joe Rogan got getting like $100 mil a year?
Oh, and I'm saying like Joe Budden should have got at least $200 mil to sell all his properties like that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying though, but If Joe Rogan getting like $100 million a year, because it was like a $300 million deal for like 3 years around that range, then I feel like Joe Budden should he can't. We all know Joe Budden ain't as big as Joe Rogan, but he should at least get $100 million off top. But since then, I'm saying
for the whole crew, like first $300 million to the whole crew, like.
Everybody needs to get a cut. Everybody needs equal cut.
I ain't saying Joe Budden get $100 million because
for his whole catalog, he probably should.
That's what I'm saying. He should get more than that for the pull up series for sure.
Cause the pull up series sponsored by Cash App already. Hell,
I swear.
So you know they get money for this. So if you trying to take that away from them and Cash,
you taking money out my.
I'm telling you. Quite literally with the Cash App.
I swear.
So man, I understand what they did about it.
I ain't got
no cause, but I brought it up just because like it brings into a conversation.
If we in the same situation, what we gonna do?
Yeah, not only that.
I ain't folding.
Not only that, but it brings up the conversation that he was talking about as well, which is the value of listeners. The average listener and listener retention and how much that is valued in big corporations like Spotify and Apple. Like why they value the average average podcast listen less than the average song listen, even though the average song is 3 minutes and somebody will be listening to them for 3 hours. You know what I'm saying? So it's like how so podcasters. This brings up a big question. Do podcasts need to be paid more than artists when it comes, especially off of streaming, if it's the same amount of numbers and full listener retention, which is all the way through like a piece of work? Even though
it costs more to make a song than make a podcast. Yeah. What I'm thinking about. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking about too. Like you sitting in a room talking for 2 hours is work. It depends on the podcast. It ain't like
because if it's a Spotify, exclusive.
Let me get this out. Let me get this out real quick. Before I lose it. Like, the difference between a podcast is, you can sit in a room and talk. Like, the average podcast is people talking. Rapping is like, we sitting in a room maybe for a week, coming up with beats, picking through the beats, writing lyrics, freestyling, finding the tempo for the song, choosing the right flows, all that. So it's like, more go into a song than a podcast, but 3 minutes, 3 hours, it should be somewhere to break even for listener retention versus the cost to make a song.
It depends.
It should be some even ground.
It depends on how you're looking at it too, because if you think about, if we talking Spotify exclusives, like the average podcast, it's just two motherfuckers talking in the living room, but shit, the average song that's coming on Spotify too is just two motherfuckers in the closet with a microphone.
Hey,
but what I was saying is, cause I mean, to your point, it costs more to make a song. It could depend on the song and who on there and how much they charge it for features and all this stuff and beats. I see where you're going with that, but also that's facts.
I can't say that though, cause I done made some fire ass beats on my phone for free. So
exactly. And like with a podcast like Joe Budden's, this is going to your point. Like Joe Budden podcast behind the scenes, like even off the names they list, like every episode they go through and list like everybody who in the crib, like Scream Man, which is basically like Young Jamie on Joe Rogan. While he pull up, he like the research department. You got Savon, I don't know what the fuck that nigga do. You got Erickson. You got these just people that literally stand in the kitchen while they in the living room recording the podcast. These are all people that do an integral part to what makes the atmosphere on the podcast though. So they're all employees. So we talking at least eight niggas, including Joe and the rest of everybody that's on the average podcast. We talking eight niggas that have something to do with it. So it's like, and we know for a fact Michelle Obama shit is more than that, because I guarantee you she's not personally working the microphone and podcast herself like Joe Rogan is. Like Joe Rogan does the laptop and edit and most of the editing on the Joe Budden podcast, or he tries to. So
you mean Joe Budden does most of the editing on his own podcast?
He tries to. He started off doing that, but since Spotify got a hold of it, he might have less of a hand on it. But even if he go to the video version and watch it, you see him like the whole time they talking. He on his laptop, like doing the gunshots, adjusting the microphone, calling people, plugging in different phones and stuff if they calling somebody, stuff like that, stuff that an intern would do behind the scenes on like a humongous podcast like Michelle Obama or if a Barack Obama had a podcast, or who's somebody else who has Amy Schumer, you know what I'm saying? This stuff other people
about to listen to this shit.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. So it's like they could have more employees, but to your point though, I feel like the average like record song, like the big record, does cost more to make than the average podcast.
Yeah,
undoubtedly. Or like even most podcasts.
I ain't saying give SoundCloud rappers the same privileges on established artists. No one trying to say that.
No, I understand what you're saying. Like the average song that, like, especially that has features and made by top notch producers, does cost more than maybe your average top tier podcast, unless it's like signed with an exclusive deal like a Spotify or Apple Music. And the only reason why I say unless they sign to an exclusive deal, because when they are signed to an exclusive deal, they gonna be held to a standard of that spot of that company.
Yeah.
So they gonna have to have employees.
Yeah, so like somebody gonna be the overseeing.
Yeah, so they're gonna be the difference. And you're gonna also have like somebody that's gonna be in charge of sound from that actual organization, so they can make sure it's up to their standards and stuff like that.
Hey, a way Spotify could have got around that though, paying them the extra money for the staff behind the scenes, just make them official Spotify staff and have them work on multiple podcasts within the vicinity.
Yeah, honestly, that seems like something Joe Budden would be down to, but probably knowing him or just knowing the podcast and that space in general, he probably even mentioned that. I ain't even gonna hold you. I wouldn't put it past the old man to mention that.
I mean, if like it would make sense to me too, like. Let's say we got Lil Johnny doing, you know what I'm saying, our mics and shit, our stuff, like adjusting the volume for our mics so we don't sound like we talking over each other and stuff.
Yeah.
Like he'll cut mine and cut yours back on at a certain time. And he'll have the guest mic always hot to get his reaction. That takes skill and that's high-end production work. Make him an official Spotify team member and have him like, okay, he working with us every week on Tuesdays when we record.
Yeah.
But Thursday, he'll be in Chicago. Next week after that, he'll be over on Mandy and Weezy doing Horrible Decisions or something. Like, that'll be dope.
Man, that's a great idea. I don't know what I was on the table. I wouldn't put that past Joe to even bring that up, because I encourage everybody that's listening to this, if you're really interested about the podcast space and what Joe Budden declined his deal and even like what you think the future of it would be, go listen to that last pod, the 374, I want to say. I can go back and go to it and look, but I want to say Joe Budden podcast episode 375, that's what it is. Go back and listen to that one and just take in everything he said. Of course, take it in with a grain of salt, because it's going to be biased just because it is himself. Even though I don't feel like he's saying anything biased, but other people might feel like that. So just go check that one out.
You can't really expect a rational opinion from somebody who they trying to fuck over. Like, let's be real.
Real talk. Man,
That's real nigga English.
Yeah. Honestly, that's all I got to talk about. I had to bring that up, though, because it's going to be one day in the future, Lord willing. There'll be our fight. We'll have to fight, too, when we trying to get more money for
people
working for us.
Rooster, you know I'm always down for a good revolution.
Oh, yeah.
We both here. But, nah, though. Hey, this been another segment of the Protestant Public School Education. I got a feeling this ain't going to be the outro. On a new episode, I want to talk to you about this route too, Rooster. When you want to try to drop new episodes? Like, I say we drop them joints on Wednesdays.
Shoot, man, I was talking to the listeners when you left that I was gonna put a voice message link in the description of the podcast, so they can send us messages. So if they have any ideas, they can send them to us. But you talking about as far as long as the this could be
y'all just like having.
You want this to be on the podcast, or you want this to be like after talk? Or it could be on there. Like, still recording right now.
I'm saying, like, we could put that on, like, before we put on the other stuff we talked about, the HBCU stuff.
No, I'm talking about we own the pod. We still recording right now. That's what I was saying.
I didn't want this on the podcast. I thought you had stopped already.
Nah, you said.
Dang.
All right, guys. Y'all just heard a little back conversation, but ain't nothing. So we just trying to think about another way to get y'all the best podcast available. This has been another episode of the Projects of Public.
I hope the feds ain't watching this.
Projects of Public School Podcast. I'm your boy Rooster. Remember to follow me on Snapchat. Follow me on Snapchat. Space-Rooster. And remember to like, share, and subscribe to this podcast on any platform that you're listening to it on. And you got anything for the people, though?
I hope the feds ain't watching this.
Hey.
I had to bring back an old classic.